Chapter 33. I took my rifle from Bob, grabbed it back, would have been more accurate, and crouched while I ran over to the back of the building. While the front of the building was all glass and clear lines of sight, the back was the opposite. There wasn't a single window on it, making it easy to approach. I contemplated following it around to the front and dodging inside through the broken glass, but if there were people in back with the hostages, it would give them time to kill some or all of them. We had no idea how many of them there were, so I decided to stick with the first plan. The back of the dealership had a number of roll-down doors for their maintenance department, but only one door that people would use. I crept up to the door. No sense giving away my presence if there was someone listening, and looked at the door handle. There was a bolt and an opening for a key on the knob. There were 7 keys on the ring. 2 were definitely vehicle keys, it wasn't them. 2 looked like they fit something smaller, combo locks maybe? I didn't know, but I knew they weren't door keys. That left 3, and I tried the first in the bolt. It didn't move. I tried the second. Also a no-go. I held my breath as I tried the third, but it not only fit, it turned the bolt. I left it locked and tried the same key in the doorknob and found it turned as well. Success. I stopped as an idea came to me, and I hoped that I hadn't turned the bolt or knob far enough for someone to notice if they'd been looking. I crept away from the building and circled back around to Jacobs.
I have the key. Hell of a lot of shooting over there, he noted.
Yeah, nothing's ever as easy as it seems, I said, or as easy as it should be.
Nope, he agreed. It rarely is.
Regardless, I have the keys. I need you to give me some covering fire so their attention is focused on the front of the building and I can sneak in the back. Can you do that?
Sure thing.
Give me 5 minutes, then do it,
I replied. He nodded and I loped off, trying to save some energy for what was to come. I knew I didn't have much left. I made it back to the door and inserted the key, then stood there feeling very exposed. Sure, the building was ringed with our people, but everyone was in cover except me. It felt wrong somehow. After a couple of minutes, the force around front began firing, and I slowly twisted the key in the bolt, unlocking it. I then slid the key into the doorknob and turned it. The knob turned, and the door opened. I slipped inside and shut the door again quickly, hoping no one noticed a difference in the volume of the gunshots. Then drew my pistol in one hand and my knife in the other. There was a small corridor behind the door, and I crept down it slowly as gunfire from out front trickled off to nothing. In this fallen world, ammunition is far too precious to waste, even for covering fire. The hallway ended in a series of cubicles full of people, of which the top half was glass. There was a large open area between them and the front of the building. That was also glass, and a large portion of it had been destroyed in the night's gunfire. The women in the cubicle at the end of the passageway I was in, 5 of them, noticed me, and they all stopped and stared at me as I sneaked up to it. Not wanting the cannibals to come find out what they were staring at, I motioned at them to turn around. All of them did, except for one, who continued to stare at me. I pointed at her and her eyes grew large, shocking her out of whatever dream state she'd been in. I then mimed for her to turn around, which she finally did. I continued to advance and heard voices.
What do you think they want, Harry?
One voice said in a stage whisper.
I suspect they want their people back.
A second, probably Harry, replied in a sarcastic tone.
We can't hold out much longer here,
a third voice said.
What if we kill all these people? Think they'd leave then?
They might, Harry replied.
They might also assault the building or hit us with heavier weapons if we no longer had the hostages.
So what are we going to do?
The first voice asked.
We're going to sit here and wait for the boss to come rescue us,
Harry replied.
He's probably rounding up folks from the barricades right now and is going to hit them from behind.
I reached the end of the hallway, but stayed back in the shadows. As the men continued to talk, I could tell that 2 of them were off to the right, while 1 was close by to the left. I edged forward a little, trying to get a better view.
The first thing I could see was the door to the cubicle in front of me. There was a wooden beam on the floor going over to the wall across from it. The door, which opened out, was blocked from doing so by the brace, a simple method of keeping everyone in. I couldn't see any of the other doorways, but I suspected they were similarly blocked. One of the cannibals was also visible, the first one who'd spoken. He was closest to me on the right, and he looked like he couldn't have been more than 16 or so. Probably someone's son who hadn't known any better than to go along. Now, though, he was part of the problem, and he had to go. I couldn't see either of the other two cannibals, but knew Harry, the leader of the three, was to the left, and the third was to the right on the far side of the kid. I paused at the end of the corridor, not entirely sure how I was going to do this. Some flashbangs would be nice, but I didn't have any. I flinched away from the opening as it dawned on me I wasn't sure how I knew what flashbangs were. I seemed to recall using them, but then the memory, if that's what it was, disappeared. Which left me back at the same place, with geographically dispersed bad guys and no way to get at them simultaneously. Taking the kid would be easy, but it would probably put me into sight of at least one of the others and probably both. And I guess they were both bigger and more lethal threats. I still hadn't decided when the one on the left said, "I'm going to see if I can sneak out the back and make it to the boss's house." The voice was closer and moving toward me. I barely had time to swap my weapons before he walked around the corner. Happily, I had the benefit of knowing he was coming, and as he drew up in surprise, I stuck my blade between his fourth and fifth ribs, angling it upward to pierce his heart. Not what I particularly wanted to do, but all I had time for. "Oh!" was all he had time to say as his eyes opened wide and he fell backward. I tried to catch him, but the momentum was wrong and he was a big guy. All I succeeded in doing was to allow his corpse to pull me out of the cover I had. My head turned toward the kid, and our eyes met. I don't know if he'd ever seen someone die that close, but his eyes were huge. The gun in his hand started up toward me, and I had no choice. I put two into his chest as I fell forward and rolled to a stop next to the cubicle. I got to my feet as quickly as I could, staying low, but the third man was gone. I looked around frantically, but couldn't see if he'd tried to run off, not a good prospect with the building surrounded, or was trying to sneak around the cubicles to get behind me. I backed into the corridor I'd come out of, knowing that my back was protected then, but then I realized there was a third alternative I hadn't thought of as I looked back. He'd gone into one of the cubicles and now had a gun to one of the hostages' head. The girl, a thin child of no more than 12, had long blonde hair and was crying hysterically, while a woman, probably her mother, screamed, "Please let her go!" "Shut up!" the man yelled back. His eyes met mine and he smiled.
"Take me instead!" the woman yelled.
"I said shut up," the cannibal replied. "If you say anything else, I'll fucking kill you and her."
The woman opened her mouth again, but nothing came out.
"That's what I thought you said," he sneered.
With his arm around the girl's waist, he lifted her up like a shield and walked from the cubicle, then shut the door and kicked the brace back into place so no one else could get out.
"So, Mr. Tough Guy," he said, looking at me. "If you let me go, I'll let her go once I'm clear. Otherwise, she dies."
"And that would bother me, why?" I asked. "She's not my daughter."
"Yeah, but you're one of the good guys. I'll bet you don't want her to die."
"All things considered, no, I don't," I replied. "With that said, though, I don't want you to get away either." He glared at me, and I sighed theatrically, then put my pistol in its holster. "All right," I said. "The boss and all his cronies have already gone, but if you let her go, I'll send you on your way to meet up with them."
"You mean it?"
I nodded. "Yeah, it would be my pleasure."
"I'm not letting her go until I get to where they are, though."
I shrugged. "Fine, come with me." He nodded, and I walked out toward the front of the building.
"We're coming out,"
I yelled, hoping no one decided to try to shoot him or me as we walked through the shattered glass at the front of the store. No one did, so we started walking toward the cannibal's house. What the hell's going on?
Jacobs asked as we neared the car he was hiding behind.
This is the last of them, I replied. I told him I'd show him where the bosses went and would send him off to meet them.
You did, huh?
Jacobs asked. His voice held a hint of sarcasm, and I hoped he wasn't going to blow it.
I can't let him take the girl.
He said he'd let her go when he got there.
That's so?
Jacobs asked.
Yeah,
the cannibal said, grunting. I smiled. Even though she was small and not struggling anymore, the girl had to be getting heavy, and it was still a long way to the house.
Well, make sure you do, Jacob said. We'll come find you if you don't.
I continued walking toward the house about 100 yards away.
Where are we going?
The cannibal asked. He was really struggling to hold the girl up now.
Up to the house, I said. I think they left a note for anyone who wanted to follow them.
Faster, the man urged. I want to see this note.
Sure, I said, picking up my pace a little.
As we approached the house, I said, shit, and bent down and pulled my shoelace before he could see what I was doing.
Damn shoelace came untied.
As I hoped, we were close enough that he kept walking, going by me as I bent to tie it. And then, probably thinking himself safe, he set the girl down to walk on her own, clearing my shot. In a flash, my gun was out. He must have heard it rasp against the leather, for he immediately reached forward to grab the girl, and my first shot went past his head. The second shot didn't, though, hitting him in the spine between his collarbones, and he flopped to the ground. I raced forward and flipped him over, and his eyes glared at me.
You're probably thinking I lied when I said you'd see your boss soon, I said. I didn't. You're about to see him. In hell.
I stepped in between the little girl and the cannibal so she wouldn't have to see it, and shot him between the eyes so he could see it coming.
Ammunition may be at a premium, but I always have one to spare for the cannibals and hostage takers of this fallen world.